We actually skipped a song this morning, Sarah. We skipped a song. We were supposed to sing, I'm dreaming of a green Christmas, just like the one I want to know. There's another verse. No snow shovels and no salt spreaders, and my Christmas will be wonderful. Okay, there you go. Amen. Praise the Lord. That was inspired by the unction of the Holy Spirit. For those of you that disagree with it, argue with him. Amen. Hey, Tuesday night, we're going to have our annual Christmas giveaway with the children. And somebody asked me, hey, why do you guys do that? Because we want kids in the community to know that aren't in church every week. We want them to know that God loves them and that he cares for them. And we want to be the face of Jesus handing a gift to a child that might not get a gift around Christmas. Can you say amen to that? Amen. And that's going to happen this Tuesday night between 5 and 8 o'clock. And because of the response that we've had, we're just asking for a few more volunteers. There's a sign-up sheet in the back there. Cheryl Crossett and Samantha and Aaron and all those that are organizing will reach out to you and let you know exactly what to do. But please sign up on that sign-up sheet. And Thursday night, we will not be having service, so go get some spaghetti or some steak or something Thursday night with your family and enjoy yourself. We thought it was appropriate not to get everyone together in on Thursday night. So, Dad and Aaron, thank you for all the text messages. I appreciate it. Could someone talk to them about texting in church? And then Friday night is Christmas Eve. Come on, say Christmas Eve. And we are going to be in this room at 6 o'clock, and we're also going to be at St. Anthony's at 8 p.m., and we want you all to be a part of that. That's going to be our candlelight service, and let me tell you, that is going to be extraordinary. How many of you have been to that service before? Wonderful. How many of you are coming? Raise your hand. Awesome. All of you. I'm going to write your name down. I want you to know that we are finishing our Bible reading plan for the year. And that has been a wonderful journey. We've done it for some years now. And I know many of you have joined with us. We're going to start over again, amen, in January. And we welcome you to be a part of that. But one of the Bible reading plans that Samantha had sent me this week was in Matthew 2 and 10. And it began to give just a wonderful lesson. And I want to just share that portion of scripture with you. And it says these words. I'm sure you're familiar with it. You've read it and you will be reading it this week. And again, Matthew 2 and 10, it says, when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. How many of you got joy this morning? How many of you need a little more joy this morning? Lift your hand. Amen. And it says, they entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary. And then they bowed down and worshiped him. And then they opened their treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You read it. It's in the scripture. They gave unto him an offering. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by the route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return towards Herod. And I want to just pull a couple really basic truths out of this for this Christmas season. And I pray that it pricks your heart the way it did mine. My first thought this morning is when you embrace Jesus, you will find the joy you've been looking for. I will say this, in this climate, in the culture that we live in today, how many of you know it can be difficult if all you're thinking about is what's happening in the world. It can be hard to find the joy that God desires you to have during this season. If you're all you're concentrated on this is the circumstances of the world, and maybe the circumstances of your family, maybe you're in a difficult place today. Maybe someone's sick in body. Maybe someone's discouraged. Maybe there's difficulty in relationships. But I want you to know this morning, my first thought today is when we go to Jesus, when we concentrate on Jesus, the joy that is described in Matthew chapter 2 is the same joy that can be yours this Christmas season. So if you're looking for joy, look no further than him. My second thought today, these individuals worship Jesus. And we worship Jesus this morning. Just a few minutes ago, we spent just a few minutes worshiping him in song. And not only in song, many of you worshiped him in your tithes and in your offering. That is a form of worship. They gave, their form of worship was gold and frankincense and myrrh. But what he's asking for, more important than worship, more important than your tithes and offering, he's asking for your life. He wants a commitment from you, a fresh and new. And some of you, you know, I've kind of watched the journey over the last 6 months and a year. You're new to Christ. You're new to the church. And I'm so happy you're here this morning. But I want you to know, Jesus wants to be a part of your life more now than ever before. You say, man, I took this small step. I took this step. And that's fantastic. But God is looking for you to continue to build on the foundation that he's given you. He wants us to worship with him with our lives. He wants, Aaron said so gently this morning, she says, I see you and I'm encouraged. That's the love of God. That's the passion of God within you. How many of you know we can't do that on our own? And my last thought, when you commit your life to Christ, the way I've just described, afresh and new, you say, yeah, I've built on the foundation that Christ has given me, but I know there's more, and there is more. I want you to know there's more ahead for you than there was behind. When you commit your life to him, afresh and new, you might be a Christian for 20 years, and you might say, this coming year is going to be the best year that I've ever had. I'm going to be more spiritually sound, more theologically sound. I'm going to be filled with more love and joy and peace and kindness than ever before. When you commit that to Christ, he not only gives you supernatural ability here on earth. And let me just comment on that. Those of you that say, oh, that's just prosperity gospel, Ryan. Well, the truth is, that is the gospel, because the word of God says that he spoke to these men and told them to take a new route. If you don't think that's supernatural ability, if you don't think that's favor from heaven, if you don't think that's anointing from heaven, you're missing out on some of the greatest favor that you could ever experience here on earth. Not only does he have that for us, he's got favor for some of you. My big brother, much older brother, he's quite a bit older than me. Amen. Can I get an amen? Oh, look at that. Yeah, some men and women of God in here. My big brother, he's been working for an automotive company, for Wester Automotive Group, the largest automotive group in the state of New York. He just got a huge promotion, and that is the favor of God on his life. And I want you to know, that same favor, you don't have to look on to other people's blessings and other people's miracles and say, ah, I just wish that could be me. You don't have to wish. When you walk in the authority that you've been given in Christ, when you walk in that favor, when you walk in that covenant, God sets a favor on you that you could never experience outside of it. And let me just give you one more ability that you have. The most important thing. Christ came in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, to provide a way for you that you couldn't make on your own. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to live in discouragement. You don't have to live in the emptiness that the world has. Your home is heaven. On your worst day, your home is heaven. On your most discouraging day, on a day with the worst news, your home is heaven. Can you say amen to that? You've got favor. Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for that great favor that only you can provide. On this side of heaven,
and in heaven. We thank you for it. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. Come on and say amen. Amen.
Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye, oh, come ye to
give her a big God bless you. Come on. Beautiful. And Sarah on the piano as well. Thank you so much. Good morning. Welcome. It's great to see you all this morning. I want to recognize a guest that is here. She traveled the furthest to be here this morning. And that's Lucy and Jose Santiago's mother. Would you stand up? Where are you? She watches us. Stand up so everybody can see you. She's from Puerto Rico. And she watches the services. Come on, let her know you love her. And we're glad that you're here. Love you, dear. Love you so much. Where's Alex? Where are you? Alex is from Puerto Rico, and it's Alex's birthday today as well. I like that. God bless you. Love you all. Thank you so much. And I hope you enjoyed the donuts on the way in. And please eat some on the way out. Listen, we have intention behind giving you donuts today. To sugar you up. I was going around with a bag of candy as well. we want to see the best in you today. So enjoy. We prayed the calories out of them. I pray that they'll have no influence on your life at all. And I'm just grateful, all three of my boys and their family in church today, because they've been traveling. Ben's been in Florida. Garrett, I don't even know. He's Alaska, California, New York. I can't keep track anymore. But I'm glad that you guys are all here. And I am so grateful for my boys. When I hear Ryan talk about Ben, the incredible promotion, I was sitting there and I was thinking about it. Ben, all my boys are gifted. They're talented. Each one of them excel incredibly in what they do. But I was thinking, and the blessing of the Lord is upon them. And let me just help somebody here. There's nothing wrong with being prosperous. If you think being poor is being more holy, you are wrong. And I'm not talking about being wasteful. I'm talking about being blessed and being a great steward. When you're a steward over what God entrusts you with, He can only entrust you with more. Never forget that. If you're not a good steward, the Bible says, if you can't handle the small, how could you ever handle the larger? You have to learn stewardship at a very young age. And parents, instill that in your children. Let them see you honor God when you give. Let them see that. Let them know what you do. Let them know that this is a part of your life so it can be a part of their life. And I was thinking about my boys, and you know, you've heard my testimony. I was raised in a home. My dad, my mom didn't serve the Lord. My mom gave her life to Jesus 1 week to the day to the hour before she went on to be with Him. My dad, he died alone. My brother was killed in a car accident. We found in his wallet a tract on salvation. I pray that somebody told him and he received Jesus. My sister at 11. In our family, we didn't have that heritage. But then comes along the blonde into my life, whose family, whose heritage, who her grandmother, they would give everything that they had to the work of the Lord Jesus. And because of that, I'm standing here today. I am blessed, and I have favor on my life. And because of that, my children are blessed, and they have favor on their lives. And my grandchildren are blessed, and they have favor on their lives. Trust God with your life. Trust Him with every area of your life. And watch Him do things in your life. Turn things around in your life like you could never imagine. That's who He is. That's what He does. And He loves you and is looking for opportunities to be a part of your life so you can walk in fullness, you can walk in hope, you can walk in great peace. You don't have to be burdened down with troubles and cares of the world. You can be free to live for Him. Even when you're going about your daily work, even everything, you know, troubles come to you. Listen, higher levels, bigger devils. And the higher you go, the more opposition you'll face. Sorry to bring that to you. It's the truth. But the truth as well is, the higher you go, the more blessing and God will help you. And I want to encourage you. I was writing down part of my message at the end of the year, right during the worship day. God was just speaking to my heart. And part of it, God, this is going to be an incredible year ahead of all of us. I really believe that with all of my heart. How many of you just want to believe that and receive that today? It's going to be an incredible year. So, Lord, I thank You. Lord, even before we're there yet, we thank You for what You're going to do and the intentions that You have for every one of us. Lord, now, just for the next few moments, anoint Your word, I pray. And I ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Look to your neighbor and say, hey, those donuts have had no effect on you. Go ahead. I just want to talk on this thought that we started the series on I'll be whole for Christmas. I'll be complete. I'll have things right in my life. And today I want to talk about having peace at Christmas in your life. And by the way, for those of you that want to know a little bit more about me, I have never watched the movie It's a Wonderful Life. You haven't either? Amen. You're my kind of guy. No, I am boring. I am boring. I love this story, and I remember this from years ago, learning about this, that World War I in 1914, as the British and the Germans are fighting ruthlessly against one another, about 100,000 of them were involved in what is remembered as a temporary ceasefire during Christmas along the Western Front. In fact, the ground in between them was called No Man's Land because there was so much bloodshed that was there. On the Christmas Eve, the Germans began to place candles on the outside of their trenches and some putting them in trees near them. And they continued and began to sing Christmas carols, and the British, when they heard it, they begin to sing Christmas carols, and they begin to shout Christmas greetings out to one another, until, unbeknown to anybody, a few of them started coming out of their trenches and leaving their arms behind, and they begin to trade gifts with one another, like hats and buttons and some food and tobacco and different things. The artillery had completely stopped, and it even gave for both sides to pick up their own dead and to do burial, and they would have joint services together as they buried these men who had lost their life. One of the men, Captain Robert Miles, he writes, "Friday, Christmas Day, we're having the most extraordinary Christmas Day imaginable. A sort of unarranged and quite unauthorized, but perfectly understood and scrupulously observed truce between us and our friends in front. The thing started last night, a bitter cold night with white frost. Soon after dusk, the Germans started shouting, 'Merry Christmas, Englishmen,' to us. And of course, our fellows shouted back, and presently large numbers of both sides left their trenches unarmed, and met in the debatable, shot-ridden, no-man's land between the lines. And here the agreement, all of their own, came to made that we should not fire at one another until after midnight. The men were fraternizing, and not a shout was fired that night. One of the Germans said, as he wrote, 'They are distinctly bored with war.' In fact, one of them wanted to know, 'What on earth are we doing here fighting them?' And the truce continued for several days." I think that is such an amazing story, because part of being whole at Christmas is having peace in our heart and in our lives, not only with our own lives, but with others as well. And sometimes you have to learn to lay weapons down, weapons of anger, weapons of hate, weapons of unforgiveness, weapons of self-preservation. Because the concept of self-preservation is very natural, but it also leads to something else in our lives, that when we continually lean into a lifestyle that way, we are never open for any of the goodness or the kindness that God wants to show us through others. And something happens in our lives when we engage in that on a regular basis. You can't just turn it off when you want to. In fact, what happens is you'll bring it home and you'll treat the ones that you love the most difficult. And that's why the Bible says that the peace of God in Philippians 4:7 passes, one translation says, surpasses all understanding, and it guards our heart. My brothers and sisters, when you put your heart in the hand of God, He will guard it. He will protect it. Doesn't mean that you won't get hurt. Doesn't mean that somebody won't try to do something negative about you. But God, at the end of the day, guards your heart. So it will not be a part of your life. In this beautiful scripture in Luke chapter 2 and verse 10, the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all the people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was an angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards all men." And Jesus gives you and I this peace. John 14:27, he said, "I'm leaving you with a gift." I love that. This is the greatest gift that you and I can know, the gift of God, the gift of Jesus Christ, our Savior. But beyond that, he says, "I leave you with a gift, peace of mind and heart." And I don't know anybody that, no matter who I talk to, that they say to me, "I just need peace in my life." And Jesus said, "And the peace I give, it isn't fragile like the peace of the world, so don't be troubled or be afraid." In fact, when you receive this gift of Christ, you receive this peace that isn't temporary. You won't wake up the next day and it'll be all gone, but it'll remain in you. It'll define who you are. You will walk in peace, and you will walk in hope, and you will walk in newness of life. And the reality of it is that the world can never produce the peace that you and I need in our lives. The Bible says in Psalm 120, verse 6, David said, "Too long have I lived among those who hate peace." And I could preach a message just off of that from the time that we are living in this world. There are people who hate peace. If there's peace, they want to do everything to stir it up. And I'm not just talking, when I make mention of this, about the world. I'm talking, God help those who are called to be preachers of the gospel who stir up hate and trouble. We are to walk in peace. David said, "I live among those who hate peace." And then he goes on to say, he said, "I am a man of peace." Let me tell you something, my brothers and sisters, you and I can have differences, but we need to do it peacefully. He said, "When I speak, they're only for war." And have you ever met anybody like that? Have you ever been around somebody that, no matter what good is happening, they are stuck on having war and creating turmoil, and creating hatred, and creating division? But Jesus says, "I have come to give you life, and to give it to you more abundantly." And in the abundant life lies the peace of God that passes that understanding, that we can know Him, and we can walk with Him, and live for Him, and let Him guide and direct us in everything we say, and everything we do. And if you've ever wanted peace, and you've come to a place where all you find is resistance, God has some answers for you and I. Because most conflicts happen when there's some kind of a disconnect, where there's distance in our relationship, which creates walls. It keeps us from other people, which moves to a place of escalation. It gets bigger, and it gets wider, and it gets deeper, which the enemy now uses to create a lie in our lives, a false belief. And I just want to tell you that whatever your life, whatever direction your life turns in, even if it's not true, that's who you become. You become just like that, because whatever you feed grows. And if you feed a lie, all the lie does is grow inside you. Nobody likes me. I've been rejected all my life. I'm this and that. And I've got this going, this is bad, and that's bad. And you listen to yourself talk like that, and it becomes a part of who you are. And Jesus has come to lift us out of that, because when you believe that, it creates hostility in your life. And not just towards other people, but with your own life. And my brothers and my sisters, what a season this is for you and I to have the peace of God inside of you. And I sat with an individual this week that's just gone through a difficult time and they said, God, forgive me, but I hate this person right now. You know what I said to them? I said, I've been there. I had a season in my life that I told God, I hate that person. And if you want me to love and forgive them, you're going to have to do it through me. Listen to me right now. And I prayed that prayer, as crazy as that sounds. And I remember, I know where I was to this day. I know the vehicle I was driving. I know where I was turning. And all of a sudden, I felt the Lord say to me, you don't hate that person anymore, do you? And I stopped and I thought, I don't hate them anymore. Because I brought that request to God. Make your request known unto God. And the peace that passes understanding, it'll guard and heal and restore your heart. So if today you have anger, you have bitterness, you have resentment, you're just mad at somebody, can I ask you to lay that weapon down today? Amen. And pick up something, a part of grace in your life? Pick up forgiveness in your life? Pick up hope in your life? Pick up the fact that God is bigger than whatever trial or challenge you have gone through in your life. He's bigger than that. The Bible says in James 3:14, if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, don't boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and it's demonic. And if the enemy could get in our hearts, he would love to do it in this season when we are, all of us, we're supposed to be celebrating the greatest event that has ever happened in history, that Jesus Christ himself came to earth and was born in a manger. He was born in a smelly, dirty place to let humanity know from that time until he comes again that no matter how dirty you are, no matter how broken you are, no matter how bad life has been, he knows about it and he's come to make your life and my life better. Come on. And we are not going to walk in demonic practices of unforgiveness and hatred and anger. But we're going to invite the peace of God. And Jesus comes to give us that. Ephesians 2:12. Remember that in those days you were living utterly apart from Christ. You were enemies of God's children. And he had promised you no help. You were lost without God, without hope. But now, you belong to Christ, verse 13. And though you once were far away from God, now you have been brought very near to him. Because of yourself? No. Because of what Jesus Christ has done for you with his blood. For Christ himself is our way of peace. I said Christ himself, verse 14, is our way of peace. I said, Christ himself is our way of peace. It doesn't come out of something you can buy, you can smoke, snort, drink, shoot. It comes from a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when you meet God, you meet peace. When you meet him, you meet the Prince of Peace. How do we do it? Let me close with these three thoughts. Number one, you and I have to start to be the peacemaker. You got to quit saying, well, when they come to me, and when they do this, and when they do that, no. James 3:17-18, the wisdom that comes from heaven is first all pure, then peace loving, full of mercy. Verse 18, peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. You have to begin to be the peacemaker. And I can hear it right now. Why has it always got to be me first? Anybody ever think that way? Come on, be honest with me. Why have I always got to do it? You got to make the first move. I'm going to preach a message on that. It's your move. You got to make the first move. Matthew 5:9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. David said again, I want to remind you that he said, Psalm 120:7, he said, I am a man of peace. And I want to just say, can you say that? Can you say, I'm a man, I'm a woman of peace? Where I go, I make peace. Even if things are not right, I make peace. Because when you make peace, peace makes you. Peace makes who you are. How? You make peace through reconciliation. What a word that is. To be reconciled, to be made new. To have all your debts canceled. And for you to cancel the debt of others. We want to have line. Well, they did this, they did that, they did this, they did that. I asked God years ago, I asked him, Lord, help me to forget things that I don't need to remember. Now, I prayed that so many times that I also forget some things I need to remember. And my wife reminds me about that. And my boys do as well. But 2 Corinthians 5:18, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave you and I the ministry of reconciliation. That was God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. Look at this, not counting men's sins against them. That's true reconciliation. That's what it means to be free. Not counting men's sins against them. I love everybody. But some people get so weird with this. They want to live in this mindset that, you know, God's keeping this big long list. And if you don't remember everything you ever did wrong, and you repent of it verbatim, that you're going to be held in chains and I don't know, beaten with whips, and maybe you'll be led into heaven. And nothing could be further from the truth. Most of you, you can't remember what you did wrong today, let alone 5, 10, 20 years ago. But when you made Christ your Savior and your Lord, he took, well, there's a scripture in the New Testament, he took the handwriting that was against you and he completely obliterated it. He took every wrong that you and I have ever done and he reconciled us to God, not counting our sin against us, and gave us not only the message of reconciliation, but because we live a life that's been reconciled, he makes his appeal through us to others. He goes on to say, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might be the righteousness of God in Christ. I love that. Paul said in Romans 5:10, for if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. And the life of Jesus now is living inside of you. You're walking in newness and wholeness of life. You've been redeemed. You've been born again. You've been born not of the world, but you've been born of the Spirit and life of Jesus Christ, who has reconciled you, who has forgiven you, who has wiped your slate clean. There's nothing you can do to make it better, because there's nothing that he hasn't done to make you completely whole in life. When you love Jesus, he makes you completely whole. And I just want to tell somebody today, if you're carrying around weights in your life that you're just, you know, you're just angry and mad and you haven't made a decision to lay your weapons down, let it go. Let it go today so that you can move through this week and enter a new year being free in the power of Jesus Christ. And you can't do that unless you have been reconciled. You have to receive it before you can ever give it. You have to make him your Lord and your Savior. You have to ask Christ to come into your life, not just to be your Savior, to keep you out of hell, but to be your Lord so you can walk in newness of life and walk in peace and walk in wholeness. You have to be reconciled to God. You have to ask him, Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life, be my Savior and be my Lord. I don't know why this, you know, my mind works. My wife says, you remember things 40 years ago, but you can't remember what I told you yesterday. When we got married, I had a dresser. My top drawer was my drawer. Any guys ever have that kind of drawer? Nobody's ever going to admit it here, are they? Go ahead. You do that all the time. You like me telling these stories, but you guys leave me hanging out there all alone. You say, yeah, that's that pastor, he was one dude. He bad boy. I'm glad I'm not like that. I had this top drawer. And in that drawer I just kept all kinds of stuff. And in that drawer, I literally had this book of friends. Girlfriends. There was quite a few names and numbers in there. And I don't really even know why I kept it, but I used to call it my junk drawer. I remember married. I didn't look at it. My life had changed. You know, I'd gotten saved, gotten married. Life was new. Just one day I went and I opened up that drawer. Whoa, wait a minute. Somebody got in that drawer. My wife got in that drawer. She cleaned up and she threw that book out. A little pride going on there. Maybe the Lord will deal with you on it. She threw the remembrance of an old life away. And for the life of me, I don't even know why I kept it. I just, you know, it was there and I didn't think about it. I thought, you know, guys, you know, it'll just leave it there. No. You know what needs to happen? Some of you need to get rid of the old book of your life. The old things of your life that keeps you connected to something in your past that is not healthy, is not wise, is not good. It brings no fruit. You need to get that and you need to throw that away. Maybe it's something that you carry in your heart and you need to leave it with God today. Proverbs 16:6 says, through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. Through the fear of the Lord, a man avoids evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, even his enemies are at peace with him. You may have enemies that don't like you, but that doesn't change the fact that you need to forgive and love. Lay your weapons down and believe God for peace in your life. Come on. How many of you received that today? And what a perfect time to share communion. If you did not receive a communion cup on your way in, will you raise your hand real tall over there? Anyone else? Put your hand up real high so they can see it. In this moment, lay your weapons down. Lay them all down. Lay the guilt. Lay the animosity, the anger, the unforgiveness. Lay it down. Sarah, just hold just a second. Lay it down. Don't allow it to be a part of who you are right now. Close your eyes. Come to Him. Give it to Him. He reconciled you to Himself. If in fact you've asked Christ to be your Lord and Savior, and if you haven't, right now, Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of every one of my sins. I ask you to be my Savior and my Lord. Lord, as we partake in the bread and the body of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, I pray that you will be honored in our lives. I pray that this season, this week in particular, that we will relinquish the old and embrace the new. Lord, as we eat this, your word says, remember what I have done. Today, we are reminded and we remember what you have done. Let's partake together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In the same way he took the cup, he said, this is my blood. The New Testament, the New Covenant. This blood, he says, will be poured out for the sins of humanity. This blood will bring you peace. Lord, we remember you. We remember the sacrifice today. As we drink this, Lord, renew our lives, I pray. Refresh, renew, and make new again. Let's drink the cup together. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, for my brothers and sisters here, those that are watching online, may your life, may your love, may your hope, may your peace be our portion today. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And everybody said a big amen. I love you. Feliz Navidad. Merry Christmas. Eat a donut on the way out. Love one another. Let this be one of the most remarkable weeks of your life ever. I love you. God bless you.